Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Say Something by N. Gemini Sasson. Narrated by Anne-Marie Lee and Kyle McCarley. Chapter 1. Beam. They say pain fades with time. Not true. Not for me, at least. Because I remember everything. Every day, every event, every blessed moment, whether I want to or not. Which was why I decided to leave. For good. I breathed in, filling my lungs with wintry air, and looked down below. It started in my palms. The slightest vibration. A faint buzz of molecules spinning, tumbling, colliding. The shiver crept up my arms, settled in my spine until it built itself to a clattering roar, then burst through every bone in my body. It felt like my skeleton would shatter. I gripped the edge of the platform, my fingers bloodless as I fought to hold on. Eyes clenched tight, I stiffened against the force of the wind as the semi blasted past, its horn a bellowing baritone. Diesel fumes flooded my nose and mouth, coating my tongue, spilling down my throat, gagging me. I retched, pulling my body back just before gravity tugged me downward. They didn't build bridges like this anymore. Good thing, because they'd be scraping a lot more bodies like mine off the pavement below. My name is Beam. That was what my little brother used to call me, because he couldn't say Bellamy. I hated the name Bellamy. Hated it with the power of 10,000 supernovas. It reminded me of something I never had. A father. Sometimes people called me Bell. That was taking a lot of liberty. I hated it even more. It sounded like a southern debutante who ought to be prancing around in a frilly ball gown. I'd sooner cover my body in tattoos and piercings, dress in black, and hang with the emos under the bleachers at the football games. On occasion, I'd been called Bee, like a bee in your bonnet. I wasn't always the friendliest person to be around, but I had my reasons. If they knew my full story, they would have understood why. But then, a lot of people thought they knew me, which was why I'd ended up here. Sitting on a steel beam, ironic, I know, somewhere in the Michigan countryside outside of Flint. Staring at black asphalt in the dark from 30 feet up on the overpass while cars zipped obliviously by below. Could have been they were just lazy and saying B because, well, they didn't know how to say Bellamy, so they didn't even try. If anybody actually knew I was here, they'd call the cops. Then the po-po would send a head doctor to talk me down. I wouldn't have minded that, actually, because I could have used someone to talk to. But really, I didn't need a shrink. I wasn't here because I wanted to end my life. I just needed to think about it. Figure out why it was that I kept getting screwed. Especially when I did everything right. At least I tried to. Still, I couldn't catch a break. Everything, apparently, wasn't enough. I was starting to think it all boiled down to luck, and I hadn't had any of that. Not so far. Not even on the night I was conceived. Twin rays of headlights torpedoed along the highway below, the broken yellow line in the middle of the road flashing as the car sped beneath me. As it disappeared in the opposite direction, it occurred to me that if I had jumped, I probably would have lived. It was only 30 feet down, and my aim was terrible anyway. The car would have veered around me, blasted its horn, and I would have ended up with a few bruised ribs and a busted ankle. Another rumble shook my bones, then another. Two cars 10 seconds apart. I wondered where they were going. Home to their families? Dinner waiting on the table? Hugs when they walked in the door? What would that feel like? Whenever anyone reached for me, I recoiled, sure I was about to get backhanded. Pulling my feet in close, I wrapped my arms around my shins. I was cold, but not shivering. I should have been. This wasn't right. And it wasn't right what happened to Oakley. It shouldn't have been him. I was the one who ought to have died that night. Now I was cold. So cold my bones could snap. I hated winter. Couldn't wait to be farther south. I kicked my feet out, swung them from the beam of the bridge to get the blood flowing through my veins. Arching my back, I rolled my shoulders, reaching out into the darkness, flexed my fingers around nothing but cold, cold February air. Time to get going. I had a long road ahead. I grabbed the truss overhead and pulled myself up and over. Clumps of ice fell to the concrete as I squeezed between the rusty beams and stepped out onto the road. No cars. Hadn't been any for more than an hour. I didn't even know what highway that was down below. I'd been on these roads before, but barely knew their names. Didn't matter. I'd never see them again. All I needed to know was how to get out onto the interstate. From there, it was a straight shot south for about 8 hours, then a sharp right west and a handful of turns to Graham and Gramps' place. Flint, Michigan to Faderville, Kentucky. I had it all memorized. Once I got to Faderville, I'd ask around. Should be easy. Should be. They weren't expecting me, but that didn't matter. I was family, right? I shuffled across the bridge toward my truck, parked off to the side of the road. Well, not my truck, exactly. I mean, I didn't even have a driver's license. For now, though, it was my ticket out of here. As long as it didn't drop the transmission in the next day or so. A shiver traced its way down my spine. Bare hands tucked deep in my coat pockets, head down. I didn't even see the dog until it was almost too late. If there was one thing I hated more than winter, it was dogs. He stood in the middle of the road, planted squarely between me and the truck. Long black legs, lean like a racehorse's, broad-chested, all muscle. A whip-like tail hung stiff and low behind his back legs. There were spots of brown on his toes, a patch of it on his chest, and more on his cheeks. The muscles of his powerful jaws twitched. His tongue darted out between jagged teeth, flicked across his lips. Even before the mongrel moved toward me or made a sound, I knew I was in trouble. He tipped his nose up, sniffed the air. His lips quivered. A paw broke contact with the ground, inched forward. His head lowered. He took another step, and another. His black eyes fixed on mine. I didn't look away. Couldn't. My feet were rooted deep into the concrete on which I stood. I had no idea if this dog, this particular dog, was dangerous. But I'd been hurt before. And it wasn't the memory of teeth tearing into flesh that paralyzed me. It was the fear. Yet if I stood here and did nothing, the fear would win. Again. Somewhere in the distance, a coyote howled, long and mournful. It might have been miles away, but the dog, momentarily distracted, curved his neck to look off into a wooded ridgeline behind him. Quickly, I looked around. A few feet in front of me was a fist-sized chunk of asphalt, a piece of what was now a pothole in the surface of the bridge. Just as I lunged for it, the dog jerked his head back in my direction. I closed my hand around the chunk, rough edges pressing into my palm. The dog crouched low, shoulders sinking, muscles coiled tight. He sprang at me. I brought the chunk of road up to shoulder height, gauged its weight, calculated the distance, the trajectory, and lobbed it at him, hoping beyond hope that for once my aim would be good enough. It wasn't. The chunk hit the road 5 feet in front of him, exploding into a dozen smaller pieces that bounced and skidded. But one tiny piece containing a sharp pebble nicked him in the toe. He snatched both front feet off the ground in surprise, then landed with a shudder. For a moment, I thought, just this once, I'd won. That moment didn't last long.
Chapter 2. Buzz. The old man, for a moment, couldn't see where he was going. Although it had been cloudy all day long, the storm had come up suddenly. In a matter of minutes, it had gone from damp and dreary to ominous and blustery. Too quickly for Buzz Donovan to get out of the elements. He tried to keep his eyes on the white line, but his sight wasn't what it used to be. Sometimes the edge of the road disappeared, lost in a jagged line of crumbling asphalt. Buzz pulled his hood over his hat and tucked it forward. Icy rain slashed relentlessly at his whiskered cheeks. Yet even as the wind shoved him back, he trudged onward, one heavy step at a time. It was only a temporary inconvenience, a reminder that he was an insignificant creature, adrift in a universe of untold powers. Between broken hills, ruddy fields of corn stumps spread out on either side of the road, broken intermittently by patches of woods, dense with old growth and tangled brush. These were the boondocks of Kentucky, sparsely populated, wild, unspoiled, nature as it should be. The beauty of it all never ceased to astound him when he remembered to look for it. Every mile he'd traversed offered a different view. The more he took it all in, the more he felt a part of it, less separate. That made him feel both big and small at the same time. He'd started the trek from town back to this particular hiding place well before sundown, or so he thought. The problem was that there hadn't been a sundown, not with those rain-choked clouds. Ironic that they hadn't spewed out the worst of their load until now, when he was halfway either way from decent shelter. For a while, he'd tried to wait out the storm in an overhang behind some sort of union building in town, but there were too many cars coming and going down the alley, so he'd left, taking his chances that the rain would stop. It hadn't. In fact, it was raining twice as hard now as it had been an hour ago. He wanted to stop, but that would have meant death for sure. Not the quick kind, either. No, someone would have discovered him the next day, lying in the ditch in a soggy heap, half-conscious. An ambulance would have shown up and hauled his old carcass to the hospital, where they'd keep him from dying. Then they'd turn him back out on the streets, weaker and sicker than he was already. No matter what, though, he couldn't go into the hospital. For a lot of reasons. Nope, he wasn't having any of that. He'd just have to keep going. Get to the place where he'd hid his things. Dry off. Rest. Wait it out. Besides, he couldn't die. At least not soon. No matter how much he'd like to sometimes. He had something very important to do. Important to him, at least. Anyway, his dog needed him. And that was enough to keep him going. Speaking of which, Buzz planted his walking stick and stopped to look behind him. The dog slowed and then sat, his rump landing in a puddle. But Hush didn't seem to notice. He only had eyes for Buzz. Buzz smiled, despite the conditions. He couldn't remember the last time he was this miserably cold and wet. No matter what his physical state was, though, as long as those eyes looked so adoringly at him, there was a reason to draw in his next breath, to look forward to tomorrow, to endure and forge on. Squinting into the rain, Hush tipped his head so one ear was slightly higher than the other. Then he stuck his neck forward and nudged Buzz in the kneecap, as if to urge him onward. Hush was an Australian shepherd, short on pedigree, but long in loyalty. Had he been more regularly groomed, less road-worn, he might have been striking, stunning even, with his big black patches on his coat of silver-gray. The fur on his feet and face was smooth and short, but on his breeches and his ruff it was long and plush. His legs and chest were white, as was the blaze that ran between his eyes. Points of copper marked his cheeks and eyebrows, highlighting his every expression.
Yeah, I know. You don't like being out here either. You're free to go any time, you know. There was a barn not half a mile back you could have run to. If you take off now, you could get back there and out of this mess in no time.
Hush sneezed, then gave a weak shake of his fur.
I feel the same way,
Buzz mumbled.
Guess we're stuck with each other.
Buzz turned back around and started forward. Instead of landing on solid road, though, his foot met a section of crumbled pavement and turned sideways. The right side of his body dipped. His knee buckled. His shoulder met gravel, the impact of his weight loosening it. His body, lean though it was, slid down the incline and into the ditch, where he slammed to an abrupt stop. A jagged root scraped beside his eyelid before ramming into the skin of his cheekbone. The shock of the laceration was superseded only by the frigid water in which he lay. Before Buzz could even attempt to push himself free, Hush was there, his cold nose rooting at Buzz's neck and armpit, soft little woof-woofs huffing in his throat.
Get off!
Buzz smacked a wet-gloved palm against the dog's shoulder. Indignant, Hush backed up. A tiny furrow of worry formed between his eyes of azure and golden brown. He woofed again.
For crying out loud, I am not dying.
Buzz finally freed the arm that had been pinned beneath him in the fall.
Not yet, anyway.
Actually, he'd died once before. A work accident. Live wires that he'd thought were disconnected. He'd been clinically dead for close to 20 minutes when they finally revived him in the emergency room. That was when they first discovered the tumor. At the time, he wished they'd let him die from that electrical shock. It's one thing to come back from the dead and have another chance at life. It's another thing altogether to learn your days are numbered. He tried to push himself up, but he was lying at an odd angle, his feet up near the road and his head downhill. The more he tried to get out of his predicament, the more frustrated he became. He flopped his free arm behind him, but that only sent a jolt of pain into his lower back. He'd wrenched it again, damn it. Worse than being stuck in a ditch was being submersed in ice-cold ditch water. Carefully, he reached forward with his free arm, leveraging his other elbow beneath him. But he was neither as strong nor as agile as he used to be. Simple tasks like this were hard. Somehow, he managed to sit up and pull his legs closer. Into the freezing water. The freezing, smelly water, rank with decaying organic matter trapped in layers of detritus. A series of grunts later, and he was kneeling on the shoulder of the road again. Colder and more tired than he'd been a few minutes ago, and caked in muck. But alive, which, at that moment, he wasn't so sure was all that wonderful of a thing to be celebrating. He groped around for his walking stick. Where had it gone? Where was his backpack? A faint silver glow lit up the road ahead. He'd hoped the overpass where he'd hidden his things earlier that morning was closer, but it was still nowhere in sight. The longer he sat there, the clearer that bleak fact became. He had a ways to go yet. He blinked at the sudden brightening, trying to make sense of it. It was still early night, and the clouds were still thick with rain. Where was the light coming from? Suddenly, Hush crouched, his ears flattening as he twisted his head to look at the road before them. Ah, a car. Maybe, just maybe. Buzz braced both hands in the gravel, drawing one knee to his chest. Pain stabbed at his right hip. He ignored it and planted his foot on the ground, leaning his weight to that side. If only there were a tree or post close by that he could grab onto. The car was bearing down on them. He looked at it as he pulled his other foot from beneath him. The headlights bored into his retinas. White, all-consuming light, shining through the downpour. Rain slapping against the road. The aggressive roar of an engine. Louder and louder. Closer. 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 Its right tire hugged the white line at the road's edge. The same line where, less than 100 feet away now, Buzz was crouched like a cement frog, unable to stand or move away. A figure blocked the light. An iron fist clenched Buzz's heart.
Hush! No!
Buzz flailed a hand out, hoping to grab Hush's ratty old bandana, the stump of his tail, a lock of fur, anything. But Hush was too quick. The dog leapt into the road, planting himself in the path of the hurtling monster of steel, its radiant maw pouring light into the wintry deluge. The car swerved, the arc of its headlights swinging abruptly to the other side of the road. Brakes slammed hard. The tires locked, rubber chattering over rain-slicked asphalt, squealing as the car careened toward the far side of the road. Its front end plunged into the ditch, then bounced over it. The car jerked back to the right as the driver regained control. But no sooner had it rejoined the road than the rear end fishtailed. The car waggled from the far lane to the near and back again before slowing and finally stopping. Like a shot of rocket fuel, adrenaline propelled Buzz to his feet. He nearly tripped over his walking stick, then picked it up. His dog. Where was his dog now? The glow of brake lights painted a watery swath of red over the wet road as the car began to back up. Buzz's heartbeat pounded in his ears like storm-driven waves against a rocky shore. He scanned the road, left to right, and from his feet to the approaching taillights. There was no sign of Hush, no flattened body. Then, on the near side of the road, half in the grassy ditch, Buzz saw it. A sodden lump of rain-darkened fur. Inert. Lifeless. His knees trembled, threatening to give out. The car jerked to a halt next to Buzz. The near window powered down. A twisted, angry face glared at him.
"What the hell are you doing out here?"
the man barked. Waves of shame and guilt rolled off Buzz, crashing into his chest like a tidal wave so hard he stepped back. The man pinched the steering wheel, then shifted the car into park, his expression softening.
"Are you okay?"
"I'm fine, but..."
"Thank God, Buster, 'cause I could have killed you, walking down the middle of the road like that."
Once again, his features transformed abruptly, like a volcano erupting.
"What were you thinking? Didn't you see me coming? And what the blazes are you doing out on a night like this?"
Anger surged within Buzz's chest, flooding him with energy. He stomped up to the car window and leaned in. Wetness streaked down his cheek. He touched a hand to it, and realized it was blood. He was too furious to feel the pain.
"You killed my dog."
The man drew his head back.
"You what? I did what?"
"Dog. My dog. You hit..."
The words lodged in his throat, but he forced them out between clenched teeth.
"My dog!"
Buzz gripped his walking stick. He fought the urge to smash the man's front windshield with it. As soon as the thought entered his mind, he dampened it. He sensed the man's bluster was merely a mask to hide his humiliation. Still, the man ought to at least pretend to care about his dog.
"I didn't see any damn dog. I almost didn't see you."
The stench of alcohol permeated the air. In the cup holders of the center console were two opened cans of beer.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?